There she is!
Despite the warning, the mass of video and audio pickups, the competing voices of the media interviewers, were like a blow to the face on her first trip between the defendant's suite and the courtroom.
Lieutenant Suiza, what do your family think about you being court-martialed?
Esme didn't want to think about that. Mindful of the publicity problem, she had sent only the briefest message to them and asked them not to reply. She didn't trust even Fleet Ansibles to keep such messages secure under the pressure of every news service in the Familius. She could feel her face settling into a stony mask, but behind that mask, she felt helpless, terrified. Inside the courtroom, Esme faced another bank of media pickups. Even as she followed the ritual of the court, she could not fail to be aware that every word, every fleeting expression, would be broadcast across the worlds for all to see. Chapin waited at the defense table.
Relax, Lieutenant. You look as if you were about to try the court, and not the other way around.
All the cases were linked by the need for officers to testify about each other's behavior, because of the need to determine whether the mutiny resulted from a conspiracy. But Esme, as the senior surviving officer, had been nominally charged with additional violations of the code. Chapin had emphasized that the charges were required, that he expected a fairly quick dismissal of most of them, given that no evidence supported them. But as far as Esme knew, none of the subordinates not in the pay of the Compassionate Hand had suspected Hearn or the others. She certainly hadn't. Hearn had seemed a bit slapdash in some ways, but she was rumored to be brilliant in combat, and rumor also linked a mild disregard for unnecessary regulations with superior combat ability. Now she found herself retelling the story of her assignment to Despite all over again. Her duties, her usual routine during time off duty, her responsibilities to officers, even more junior, her evaluation of her peers.
And you had suspected nothing about Captain Hearn, Major Casordi, Major Steck, or Lieutenant Arvad?
No, sir.
Esme had said this before, about each one separately.
And to your knowledge, no one else suspected that they were in the pay of the Benignity?
No, sir.
Did you have a particular relationship with Dorvir?
The idea was so ludicrous that Esme nearly lost control of her expression.
Dorvir, sir? No, sir.
In the lengthening silence, Esme was tempted to explain Dovir's preferences in particular companions, and decided better not.
And you never heard of anything of a plot to mutiny against Captain Hearn?
No, sir.
No grumbling of any sort from officer or enlisted?
Sir, of course I heard people grumble. They do. But not more than on any other ship.
And you have so much experience on so many ships.
Chapin stood up.
Objection?
Sustained. You are aware of the standards, Thedron.
Sir.
The chair peered at Esme.
Please discuss the nature of the grumbling, Lieutenant Suiza. This court is not sure that an inexperienced officer is fully aware of the amount of grumbling that is normal.
Yes, sir. When Despite was in the yards before I joined her, the recreation area had been cut by about 30% to allow retrofitting of the enhanced charge beam generator on the port side. That meant losing 15 of the exercise machines. It would have been 19, but Captain Hearn approved a tighter spacing. However, this meant shortening the exercise periods, and some crew could not get their required exercise without getting up on their downshift. Some complained that Hearn could have relaxed the exercise requirements or installed the other machines elsewhere.
What else?
Well, there was apparently a sneak thief pilfering from enlisted lockers. That caused a lot of annoyance because it should have been easy enough to catch, but the scanners never caught anything.
They'd been tampered with?
Chief Bascom assumed so, but couldn't prove it. It went on for perhaps 20 or 30 days. And it never happened again. The items taken were rarely of great monetary value, but always personal treasures.
Should she mention that they'd been found after the battle, in that cleanup phase, in the locker of someone killed? Yes, she had been taught that withholding information was the same as lying.
We found the things after the battle, but the person whose locker they were in had died in the original fight.
The mutiny, you mean?
Yes, sir. Under the circumstances, we just gave the stuff back to the owners. The surviving ones, that is.
Mm-hmm.
The trial went on, hour after tedious hour. Most of the time, the questions made sense, examining what she had known, what she had witnessed, what she had done. Other times, the court seemed determined to follow some useless thread of inquiry into a thicket where they would lodge until one of them kicked free and returned to the main issues. One of the side issues turned nasty. The hectoring Thedrin continued to ask his questions as if he was sure she was guilty of something dire.
Isn't it true, Lieutenant Sweeza, that you were charged with ensuring that the ensigns carried out their duties and put in the required hours of study?
Sir, that duty rotated among the four senior lieutenants junior grade, under the supervision of Lieutenant Hanguard. I was assigned that duty for the first 30 days after Despite left Sector HQ. Then it devolved onto the next senior, Lieutenant Junior Grade Pelisandra, for 30 days, and so on.
But as the senior, you were ultimately responsible.
No, sir. Lieutenant Hanguard made it clear that he wished the jig... Sorry.
Never mind. We do know what the word means.
Well, then, Lieutenant Hanguard wanted the jig in charge of the ensigns to report directly to him. He said we each needed to feel the responsibility alone for a short time.
And you were not aware that Ensign Arpan was engaged in illegal diversion of military equipment?
What? Ensign Arpan? But he's...
Ensign Arpan has been convicted of diversion and illegal sale of military goods to unlicensed buyers. In this case, his father's shipping company.
It's hard to believe.
On second thought, Esme could believe it, but still, why hadn't she noticed? How had someone else found out?
You haven't answered the question. Were you or were you not aware that Ensign Arpan had illegally diverted military equipment?
No, sir. I was not aware of that.
Very well. Now, about the mutiny itself.
Esme wondered why they bothered to ask questions which the surveillance cubes had already answered. Hearn had attempted to destroy all the records of her conversation with Serrano, but the mutiny erupted before she could. So the court had seen the playbacks from several angles. For Serrano had, of course, recorded Hearn's transmissions, and the transmissions agreed. What seemed to worry the court most was the possibility that the junior officers had been plotting even before Hearn defied Serrano. Esme repeated her earlier statements, and they picked them apart. How was it possible that she had not known Hearn was a traitor before? How was it possible that she had been party to a successful mutiny if she had not been involved in some plan with the other mutineers ahead of time? Was it really that easy to produce a spontaneous mutiny? By the end of the second day, Esme wanted to bang heads. She found it hard to believe that a whole row of senior officers were so incapable of recognizing what lay in front of them, so insistent on finding something other than the plain, obvious truth. Hearn had been a traitor, along with a few others of the officers and some of the enlisted. No one had noticed because, up until the moment she defied Serrano, her actions had not been suspicious.
You never had any suspicion that she was using illicit pharmaceuticals?
No, sir.
Esme had said that three times before. Captain Hearn had never appeared under the influence. Not that Esme would have been able to recognize subtle effects of drugs, even if she'd seen that much of Hearn. Esme had no way to know what she was taking, nor had she investigated Hearn's cabin after the mutiny to find out. She had had a battle to fight. More questions followed on Hearn's motivation. Major Chapin cut those off repeatedly. Esme was glad to sit and let him handle it. She felt stale and grumpy as well as tired. Of course she didn't know why Hearn might have turned traitor. Of course she didn't know if Hearn had been in debt, had had political connections to a foreign government, had harbored some grievance against Fleet. How could she? Her own motivations came into question. Esme answered as calmly as she could. She had harbored no grievance against Captain Hearn, who had spoken to her only a few times. When Hearn's private log came into evidence, she found that Hearn had described Lieutenant Junior Grade Sweeza as competent but colorless, causes no trouble, but lacks initiative.
Do you feel you lack initiative?
Esme considered this. Were they hoping she'd say yes or no? What hook did they plan to hang her on?
Sir, I'm sure Captain Hearn had reason to think that. It is my habit to be cautious, to be sure I understand the situation fully before stating an opinion. I was, therefore, not the first to offer solutions or suggestions when the captain posed a problem.
You didn't resent her opinion?
No, I thought she was right.
And you were satisfied with that?
Sir, I was not satisfied with myself, but the captain's opinion seemed fair.
I notice you used the past tense. Do you still feel the captain's evaluation of you was accurate?
Objection. Lieutenant Sweezer's present self-evaluation and its comparison to Captain Hearn's prior evaluation is not an issue.
At last it wound down. All the evidence given, all the questions asked and asked again, all the arguments made by opposing counsel. Esme waited while the officers conferred. In the reverse of the board procedures, she stayed in the courtroom while the members withdrew.
Take a long breath. You're looking pale again. But you did very well.
It seems so complicated.
Well, if they let it look as simple as it is, they'd have no good reason for a trial, except that it's the regulations. With all the media coverage, they don't want to make it look easy. They want it to look as if they were thorough and demanding.
Can you tell
how it will come out? If they don't acquit you of all charges, I'll be very surprised. They have the board report. They know you've been chewed on about mistakes. And if they don't acquit, we'll appeal. That'll be easier, actually, out from under the media's many eyes. Besides, they found themselves a bad apple to squash. That young Arpan fellow.
The officers returned, and Esme stood, heart beating so that she could scarcely breathe.
Lieutenant Junior Grade Esme Sweezer, it is the decision of this court that you are innocent of all charges made against you. This court has voted unanimously for acquittal. Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Esme managed to stay on her feet during the final ceremonies, which again included greeting each officer on the court and the prosecuting counsel, who, now that he wasn't badgering her with questions, seemed friendly and harmless.
I knew we didn't have a chance. It was obvious from the evidence, really, but we had to go through with it. Unless you'd come in here blind drunk and assaulted an admiral, you were safe enough.
I didn't feel safe.
Then I did my job, Lieutenant. That's what I'm supposed to do, scare the defendant into admitting every scrap of guilt. You just didn't happen to have any. Fred, why do you always get the easy ones? Last fellow I had to defend was a mean-minded SOB who'd been blackmailing recruits.
I'm rewarded for my virtues.
Esme didn't feel like joining in their laughter. She felt like finding a quiet place to sleep for a week.
What do you do now, Lieutenant?
Take some leave. They said it'd be a while before they had a new assignment for me, and I could have 30 days home leave plus travel. I haven't been home since I left.
Esme wasn't that anxious to go home, but she knew no other way to escape the media attention.